Over the past couple months, I've taken up an interest in photography. It was sparked a little while back when I was asked to put together a prayer resource, a short theological devotional, as I called it, for the Archdiocese in their Seek the City initiative in Baltimore. And I decided to incorporate a little bit of amateur street photography into it. And so looking to delve a little deeper, this past week, at the recommendation of a friend who is a professional videographer, I visited a camera store to see if I might find something a little better than just my iPhone. After about 3 seconds of speaking with the person behind the counter, I realized I had no clue what I was talking about or what I was even looking for. Plus, after zooming in on the price tag, I decided that after all, my phone takes pictures just fine for now. So, but I did learn that there are three basic ingredients to taking a photo. You need light, you need a camera, and you need film. First, you need light. In the Greek language, the word light is phos. It's where we get the word photo from. Naturally, it's much more difficult to take photos at nighttime when it's dark. And so you either need a flash or a longer exposure time, which is the length of time the light enters through the camera. And now a camera, I learned, part two, is essentially a light-proof box. The word camera comes from the Latin phrase camera obscura, meaning literally dark room. Light is allowed to enter through an opening called the aperture, where a lens focuses the light onto film. And when film inside a camera gets exposed to light, a chemical reaction occurs that records an image to be developed. The same process of photography, in kind of an analogous way, I think is at work in the man born blind, through whom Jesus reveals himself as the light of the world. And let me explain a bit. Everyone in the gospel has an image of this man and his apparent sin. The gospel begins with the disciples asking Jesus the question, later echoed by the Pharisees, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now, they have in mind a verse from Exodus 20, chapter 5. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their ancestors' wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation. Of course, if they knew that this man was born blind, it would be rather silly to suggest that his own sin caused this. And so they began looking into other generations, almost like going back and looking at the photographs of which generation before is responsible for this man we see before us now. But Jesus responds, neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. He's saying that the disciples are all out of focus. Their focus is completely off. And Jesus chooses the man born blind as the opening, the aperture for his light, phos, in the gospel, to enter the world. It is through this blind man that the light of the world is entering into a dark world. What does it mean to call Jesus the light of the world, the phos of the world? Well, we might see the world itself as a kind of camera obscura, a dark room. We see so much darkness in our world and even in our own hearts. And yet, because of Jesus, God's light has entered it. God's light has entered the dark room of our world and our own hearts, and given us, in the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, the image of the invisible God. because God's light has entered the world, we now have a more beautiful and captivating picture of the very love of God. The light of the world, Jesus, enters the blind man in order to make visible the image of God that others, possibly even this man's own parents, had themselves become blind to, or at least had become too afraid to see. Through this man, the Lord is restoring his image, the image of God, for all of us to see. Jesus does the work of God, which is to restore the image of God within the human race, bringing our way of seeing God and each other and the world in which we live back into focus. How out of focus our vision often is, when so many of our interactions seem only aimed to bring out the worst in each other, or to assume the worst in each other, as the Pharisees in the gospel illustrate. We're really good, or at least we think we're really good, at seeing what is lacking in others. Surely we are not also blind, are we? The man born blind answered the Pharisees and said to them, to us, this is what is so amazing, that you do not know where Jesus is from, and yet he opened my eyes. If Jesus is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see. Jesus' light has entered the world to restore the image of the goodness of God in every human being. We hear in our letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians today, brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. When we let the light of the world, Jesus, enter into our hearts, dark as they are, sometimes sinful as they are, goodness and truth and beauty is the result. St. Paul says, take no part in the fruitless works of darkness, but rather expose them to the light. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. God's love is becoming visible in the world through Jesus, and through Jesus letting his light shine through the very broken and vulnerable people, the ones that we are maybe least trained or expected to see God's light shining through. And so the season of Lent is a time of exposing the dark room of my heart to the light, so that the image of God can develop, and the works of God might be made more visible in my life, and that I can see them in the people and the places that I've maybe lost the capacity or the willingness to see. And so God's light has entered the world, and what an amazing thing it is. As we continue through our Lenten journey, we, on this fourth Sunday, invite up those who are pursuing full communion in the Catholic Church for our second of three scrutinies, where we let the light of God shine through our hearts. And so I would now invite up those who are called our elect. Elect of God, bow your heads and pray. And let us pray for these elect whom God has called, that they may remain faithful to him and boldly give witness to the words of eternal life. Father of mercy, you led the man born blind to the kingdom of light through the gift of faith in your Son. Free these elect from the false values that surround and blind them. Set them firmly in your truth, children of the light forever. Lord Jesus, you are the true light that enlightens the world. Through your spirit of truth, free those who are enslaved by the father of lies. Stir up the desire for good in these elect, whom you have chosen for your sacraments. Let them rejoice in your light, that they may see you. And like the man born blind, whose sight you restored, let them prove to be staunch and fearless witnesses to the faith. For you are the Lord forever and ever.
Amen. Dear elect, go in peace and join us again at the next scrutiny. May the Lord remain with you always.